This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Pleasure Positive Podcast, the ultimate destination for a life filled with pleasure. Join us as we explore the vast landscape of pleasure, from the tantalizing to the transformative. This isn't just a podcast. It's a journey into the joyous realms of life's most delightful experiences. We're here to break down barriers, challenge norms, and open up conversations about the incredible world of pleasure. Expect insightful interviews with experts, everyday adventurers, and anyone embracing the extraordinary in the ordinary. Discover how pleasure isn't just a luxury, but a fundamental part of your well-being. Subscribe now to the Pleasure Positive Podcast and embark on a voyage where pleasure is not just celebrated, it's a way of life. Welcome to the Pleasure Positive Podcast.
Pleasure. Hey, that was awesome. What is up, pleasure seekers all around the world? Welcome to season 6 of the Pleasure Positive Podcast. This season, we're diving deep into the art of pleasure resilience. This is what this is all boiled down to. We are embarking on a journey that's all about reclaiming your joy, owning your truth, and reviving your dreams. So picture this. Embracing pleasure isn't just about fleeting moments of happiness. It's about cultivating resilience that withstands life's storms. So we'll explore how leaning into pleasure, whether in intimate connections, unapologetic living, or pursuing passions, can fuel your inner strength and fortify your resilience.
We're going to be talking about the power of unapologetic living, stepping into your truth, owning your damn joy, and refusing to shrink for anyone. We're done with that chapter. We're going to be diving deep into the intimacy that fuels our resilience, connecting deeply with others, sharing vulnerably, and finding strength in our relationships. And let's not forget about those dreams you've tucked away. It's time to dust them off, revive them, and chase them with unwavering determination. Because when pleasure, intimacy, and purpose converge, magic fucking happens. So get ready to ignite your resilience, embrace your pleasure, and reclaim your dreams, okay? This is your journey, and you're the main character of this movie.
Now, you might be thinking, what in the world is pleasure resilience? Pleasure resilience is all about bouncing back from life's curveballs, disappointments, or challenges related to experiences of pleasure or enjoyment. It involves the capacity to maintain a positive outlook, pleasure positive, find the joy in everyday moments, and adapt to changes and circumstances while still experiencing satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Essentially, pleasure resilience allows individuals to navigate life's highs and lows with a sense of emotional balance and well-being, even when facing obstacles to their own enjoyment and happiness. So whether you're a seasoned pleasure pro or just dipping your toes into the resilience pool, this season, this episode, this next phase of pleasure positive living is for you. And we finally have a new theme song because I don't know if anyone remembers the old theme song.
How could we all forget?
It was for anyone who remembers, it was like a pussy. We were really in our Mama Gina era. It was
what was it, Lindsay?
But what you guys, I don't know if you guys know this, we got a lot of hate on iTunes for the theme song.
We did. That's
we
right.
Did? Oh,
so that's right.
No, that was loud.
Nobody was ever like, I love the theme song. Only people.
No, I feel like they either hated it or they loved it.
But the people who hated it would like leave us a 1-star review and be like, love the podcast, but that theme song is so cringy.
Oh, no.
What? It never offended. It never.
Well, you know,
it always just made me laugh. I'm like, okay.
It was all about embracing the word pussy. So if it made people uncomfortable, but they still like the show, I feel like there's something there.
Yeah,
to,
Well, we have a new theme
especially
song.
If you're still listening,
if you like it, please. We're launching this new season. We would really, if you've been a longtime listener, we have a really bold request of you. If you have never, or even if you have, please go and leave us a 5-star review and let us know. Your feedback means a lot to us. So if you like the new theme song, maybe give me some love in the 5-star reviews. That's my request. Oh, man. So we just did
our 300th episode
a couple weeks ago, and now we're... We took a moment to regroup and really decide what the next chapter was for us. And
that's another R word. We really discovered that inside of resilience, there's all these sub themes.
It's true.
That all
well, and
are
I just want to open up. Yeah, we regrouped.
We
Step
really
one, regroup.
Ravenously regrouped.
but yeah, so I just want to start off the conversation when you heard that intro. And you heard the definition, pleasure resilience is about bouncing back from life's curveballs and disappointments. I think that for anyone who has been listening to the podcast, they've seen us through a lot of different seasons in life. When you hear that, pleasure resilience, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you guys? What is that stamina?
Stamina. Instantly stamina.
It's so funny. I'll let you continue in a minute, but mine is peace and space.
Penises and outer
space. Opposite of stamina.
You think about
so continue.
Penises
Tell me
and
how
outer
stamina.
Space? I'm just kidding.
Is that what I just said? Peace and space. Penises and outer space. Maybe I'll try that one.
Well, try
in my
it sometime.
Peaceful moments, I can write that
a
one down.
Penis
and
outer
like,
space.
Oh. Just gonna
That's
on
my full body fuck
joy.
Yes checklist. A penis in outer space.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
I would watch a cartoon show of dicks in outer space for sure.
It's just like
there is
floating like, around dicks with zero gravity outer space. Floating
around. It's like a spinoff of Big Mouth, but in space.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Big Mouth. We love you guys. Oh my gosh. Would love to interview the creators.
They should do that.
Maybe we should produce that show.
Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll, if you're listening, call
the lady.
Yeah. We've got so many ideas.
I think
you.
It's
so
more likely that John Mulaney would be listening to our show than Nick Kroll.
Oh,
for
John
some
Mulaney. Yeah. If you're listening, please
really?
Call us.
Oh my God, I love him.
I love John Mulaney.
I love both of them, actually. Netflix as a joke is coming to Los Angeles soon, so
right.
catch it if you're in town.
What is that again?
Netflix
I was
is a joke?
I was going to pretend to be cool for 5 seconds and be like, yeah, I know what that is. And I realized I actually forgot. I'm sure I do
It's like
know.
All the stand-ups that you see
like
on Netflix.
Like a variety
comedians
show?
Comedians go around and they do a week long or it's
like
10
like
days
Matt.
Of shows.
I like
shows.
Matt Rife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a SiriusXM radio show.
It's a
show.
Live show, I it's, thought.
Is That's, it? I don't know.
They also have a SiriusXM channel.
Shows. Oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Netflix is a joke it. Coming soon.
Yeah, with John Mulaney and Nick Kroll, I'm sure.
On
Anyways,
the subject of comedians,
about them.
I can't overstep my love for Taylor Tomlinson, though. Female comedian, shout out to Taylor
yes.
Tomlinson. If we're going to be talking about comedians for a moment, just want to say also.
And
with
pleasure
love-
resilience. Like
yes.
Mental health. I love her and her new stand-up and her old stand-ups because she goes deep. Into the dark side of mental health and her shadow, and she finds light and
so
humor and keeps so much of the darkness that is, but can laugh about it.
Right.
And I think it's just there's something so healing about that. And as we're talking about pleasure resilience and embracing pleasure as a path to building that resilience, we've been talking about this so much in our community coaching program. And how you can build that. And there's different ways depending mm-hmm. on your different circumstances, right? So right. it's been so fun to come to this overarching conversation of how to build pleasure resilience, whether it's through intimate connections or self-care practices or pursuing passions. Like all of things can enhance resilience. Or even if it's sitting doing nothing, sitting in discomfort for 10 minutes, right? To build that resilience. And it's the spectrum of pleasure that we've been able to discuss with our community has just been so reviving. There's another R word, because ultimately we've always been teaching people how to be another responsible R-word. For their own pleasure. Yeah, another R words. And ultimately that's connected to themselves, because I feel like what I've been observing is they get that when they come to us within a month or two of what they're getting something in their life that is enhancing their pleasure, where all of a sudden they're like, I want to go help the world. I got the little miracle happened. And we're like, wait a minute, but the miracle happened. Like, what happened? Did you forget? I know you want to go help the world now. And of course, we want to help the world. Obviously, like, we have created a global conversation. And everyone in our environment wants to as well. So it's like building that internal, intrinsic resilience to pleasure and connection to yourself.
It's really easy to be turned on and to want to have sex and want to masturbate when everything is going hunky-dory in life, and to even reach out. We talk a lot about community. It's really easy, but it's who are you going to be when life does throw you a curveball? And I can just share a little bit about a recent experience I had. I'm a newlywed. I've been married for 4 months. And for anyone who knows, my husband is in the film industry, and there's been a massive strike in Los Angeles for all of that. And we paid for a wedding in the same year. So that's for richer, for poorer. And we're fine, but there was recently a moment where he got some news, and he was terrified to tell me. It had to do with our finances. And I remember like the moment, and I remember floating outside of my body and almost being, I could see the terror in his eyes. And I knew that was because in the past I've had a certain reaction. And I knew that if I was going to create pleasure resilience, I had a choice in that moment about how I was going to show up and react. And he shared it with me. And I said, you know what? We're going to figure this out. And so the thing that has been, and I think when life really throws you a curveball, sometimes it's really, truly going back to the basics, right? I cleared my day. I talked to my business partners. I said, look, guys, I need to be with my husband right now. I don't know. We were supposed to do episodes that night. I said, I don't know. I said, I need to prioritize my husband right now. We need to have some conversations. And I said, let's go for a walk. Let's get outside. For me, getting myself rooted in nature is always anchoring. So I went out. We went out. There's a park right by our house. We went for a walk. We sat down. We did some box breathing, or as our community calls it, sugar's breath exercise. And then I did cards. I'm into woo. Maybe I can draw a card for us today. And I drew, I'm witchy.
You're very witchy, and you're very psychic. And you are also, we're discovering that being, you're like a psychic singer. You can channel sounds.
Yes, yes, that's true.
It's so, really hums your whole body.
Yeah,
thank
you. Yeah, we can get into that. And so I drew a card, and we just connected, and I just helped us connect to source. And it was a very interesting moment, because my soul, my spirit was actually excited when I was able to tap in and get grounded, but my ego was terrified. And I was almost having this dual experience. And I think that in the past, before I had the skills I have around pleasure, I would have easily just gone to a completely flooded state, had a reaction, but because I was grounded, I was able to have this dual experience. And sometimes what occurs is a curveball. We could easily step into fear, right? But instead, we're deciding to step into pleasure and to dream. And what's ironic is sometimes curveballs that occur as bad or whatever in, you know, the ego mind are actually opportunities. And if we can do whatever it takes, whether it's a little bit of sex magic, getting masturbated, grounding, sitting in nature, whatever your pleasure practice is to get you grounded, there's always an opportunity. So now we're starting a new business. Our communication is better. Instead of leaning out and having it separated us, we've leaned in. And now we're reimagining our whole life. We're thinking, where do we want to live? How do we, like, all these conversations I wanted to have with him that I felt were, I was trying to change his mindset, got changed instantly. So this does feel like a spiritual moment. And I think that pleasure and especially pleasure resilience is an amazing opportunity when a curveball is thrown your way to actually see the spiritual opportunity in it. And I'm not saying that I didn't have some days where I didn't want to get out of bed. And so I would say if you're in a moment like that, what is the one thing you can do for yourself every day? For me, I was listening to, I don't know if anybody knows about Mel Robbins. She has this thing she was talking about how she gets out of bed every morning. She calls it the 5-4-3-2-1 rule. No matter how she feels, she counts backwards. 5-4-3-2-1. And then she pushes herself out of bed and she just gets up. And so I've been doing that because I have honestly lately not wanted to get out of bed. So I count down to 5. I push myself out of bed, put on the clothes that I have right like next to my bed, and I go outside and I take a walk. I get that sunlight and I move my body. And just that one thing has changed my entire perspective. So I would say if you're in a phase where you're like, man, life has thrown me some curveballs that I don't want and you don't want to get out of bed, what is the one thing you can do for yourself to get into your pleasure that will be a domino effect and help snowball you back into rooted and remember who you are?
There's so much I want to say in what you just shared. There was the choice in when your nervous system is triggered, you know that a trigger happened and you catch it and you make a different choice in your behavior and you choose to stay embodied and connected instead of listening to your nervous system, which is whatever root from the past, whatever limiting belief from the past. And you stay in it, that discomfort, that is pleasure resilience demonstrated, like in action. That is what it looks like. So building these, I want to say one more thing. So building these spiritual practices individual to yourself, like mine, I get up and I read, I use a book as an oracle for a poetry inspiration reading that morning. I don't get out of bed until
So that's your one thing. That's your one thing.
So it's different for everyone.
What's your one pleasure practice that grounds you every day?
Having that builds it. So when you're in those moments, when your nervous system is triggered and you could flee or argue, you are able to really stay connected. It's the connection within yourself that you are worthy enough to have that space and time for yourself in the morning or whenever it is for you. So it shifts your behavior in your life.
And one of the things, you know, the course that we created, our Pleasure Accelerator program, it has taught me so much about somatic communication, nonverbal. I'm a singer. I'm a public speaker. I'm a podcaster. I want to use my voice. But somatic practices and learning to be, like you mentioned, Katie, embodied and learning to communicate the meowing, even like from our previous episode, me and Ryan talked about how we meow, learning to take on the practice of somatic healing, somatic communication has gotten me out of my head. I think at the beginning, 7 seasons ago, episode 1, I was fully in my head, very masculine in my communication. Not that's bad. I still do that a lot. And having that balance, the juxtapo of being able to even just have a slight moment to pause, be in my body, and to be in my body, it has just been literally showing up, even to like when we're coach, Madison leads a lot of our meditations, and just that ongoing practice has taught me to strengthen that somatic muscle, which has made a huge difference. And Ryan being on the autism spectrum has been the greatest gift because it forced me. It was like held me accountable because otherwise it wasn't going to work.
I love that somatic, pointing out the somatic, because it really allows you to connect with others empathetically. And I think that, I don't think that, that will create more intimate connection in any relationship. Sure. So taking care of thyself really does take care of everyone. But really learning how to do that, it's not something that's taught here in the States for sure.
And the R word, shame, that when I was sharing this with Madison earlier, it's reframing I think that so many of us, and we're going to do a whole I think we're going to touch on a couple bullet points in this episode that we're going to do full episodes on later, but I'm really diving into the concept of reframing failure, right? In my romantic life, I really had to reframe after my last relationship in my 30s, reframing my identity, my relationship to my timeline of getting married, of being a mother, reframing, and really what it was like reframing my relationship to quote unquote failure. And I heard, I was reading this book the other day and I heard this really cool story. There was this family and they would go around the table and it was like a mom and kids, and they would each take turns sharing something that they had failed at that day. And they would celebrate it because it meant that they were taking risks. And I love that so much. It's almost like bragging about something you failed at because it takes the significance out of it. I think so much often you're not orgasming, you're not with your soulmate, you blah, blah, blah. We feel that as a failure. And then the thing that hurts is our relationship to that perceived failure. So something I'm really taking on in the season 6 is reframing my relationship to failure in every area of life.
And I think that so connects to one of our themes around unapologetic living and owning your joy. If you are stuck in like this failure racket, there's no access to that level of being unapologetic in your life or really owning your joy in the small things. And you both were talking about your sacred daily practices, and I started a new one at the start of the year in January. I was really inspired by this company called Dear Universe, and they have this journal, and they have morning reflections and evening reflections. And why I knew to take on this practice is because for the last year and a half, I have been so resistant to journal practices. And I realized that was the modality that it was time to step into to let go of some of that resistance. That there's something available to me in the consistency of a journal practice. And I love the question because it starts with gratitude, right? When I start my day in gratitude, my perception vantage point is completely shifted from that point versus when I don't set any gratitude or intentions for the day. And that's the other thing in the morning. It's also setting an intention for the day, really clarifying that. And asking for the universe, for the energy you want to cultivate, like really thinking about like, how do I want to feel today? What vibration do I want to live in? And then the evening practice, and I've never done a devoted evening practice before, but I love it so much because we talk about accomplishment here. And I have it that owning our accomplishments lives inside of owning our joy. And when we do that, it is a manifestation to cultivate more of that fuck yes energy when we really bathe in our accomplishments. And so the evening practice, of course, has you write what are your top three highlights for the day, which I love that it's been such an incredible practice to remind myself of those little moments. And it's so interesting to look and see what I consider a highlight, like what my brain thinks in the beginning of the day is, okay, we're going to sign up 10 people for our program. But then it might be that really sweet conversation where I made my sister laugh. And I have it that this is such a huge part of the resilience conversation. And earlier in the episode, you asked, what's the first thing you think of? And I said, stamina. And there's a visual for this. There was a reel that came out this week for Chelsea Handler. Shout out to another female comedian. It was her 49th birthday this past week. And she posted this fucking reel. I just need to show you because to me, this is like fully embodied pleasure resilience to the maximum. Okay.
You got to hold it up to your mic. Oh, she's... Okay, so for those of you listening to the podcast, she's skiing in a bikini with a dog as a backpack, smoking a cigarette and drinking a margarita. Oh, a joint.
She's smoking a joint.
I love it.
Oh, man.
What a badass.
And what I love
except I would be too cold.
I'm sure it was somewhere in California.
Sometimes it's
where it was
pretty
like
warm and the ice is just melting.
Right.
I just wish I was with her in that moment when she had the inception for the idea. She was probably like, you know what would be so funny is if I had my dogs and had a drink and a smoke and was skiing down a mountain. And then the next best part of that is the part of her that actually fucking did that.
Yeah.
And I have it. That's pleasure resilient. The act of, and this touches into dreaming again.
right? And who we get to become,
right,
to fulfill those dreams. And what I'm noticing for myself is that it's a new version, a rebirthed version. That's another R word inside of resilience. So anyways, all fun there, but that reel is my sort of visual. And I love having a visual to live into, like a visual metaphor of, like, what is the feeling I'm trying to tap into, or what is the way of being I'm wanting to become? And what I think it lives in this is this frequency of play. We do so much inner work, and we've talked to so many of you, whether you've come through our free private pleasure trainings we've been hosting once a week now, which if you're not on our email list, that's where we promote those. So go sign up for our email list. Like, you could just email us at ctshowpodcast or pleasurepositiveliving@gmail.com. Actually, do pleasurepositiveliving.
Yeah, they've been super fun.
Email us if you want in on our email list. And all of these people in our community are like, they do so much inner work. And I think that's a reflection of us. We're all self-help junkies, or we love personal development and personal growth, spiritual growth. And one thing that I'm really present to, sorry, I just got moved for a second. One thing that I'm really present to is that we have to remember to play. Because we can do all this inner work, and it can be like a lot of work. And to remember when to play, to remember when to step away from the inner work and go and live life, go engage with life. That's where you get to integrate the work. So I think the balance of play is really important here. And of course, that reel just is nothing but play. and badassery.
Totally.
Yeah. I haven't mentioned this much, but I went on a poly pause. It's been since June, so July, August, February. It was the end of February. So it's like an 8-month going on 9-month poly pause. And part of that, and this is another R word, was really reevaluating the foundation of my desires. So I am been the iconic polyance, that's many of one love. If you didn't know that and you're just catching us for the first time now, I've shared so much of my journey has been opening up as a bisexual woman in a marriage, and then what unfolded into becoming a polyamorous marriage in which I was with men, women, non-binary folks. And I fell madly in love like a year and a half ago, and I was in a different, every season of polyamory for me, or every season of non-monogamy, has been different. It has shifted and evolved. It's never been quite the same. And in this moment, I was really just committed to this one person and my partner, which felt like a really big shift coming from like being hosting play parties and going to play parties and not wanting relationships to, oh my God, I just want to date this one person and be in love with my husband and what I thought was a boyfriend. And I had to heal like a broken heart from that. We weren't aligned. And I realized I didn't know this person wasn't available to fall in love with me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just assumed everyone thinks like me. So I'm like, wait, you could fall in love with me. And you're already somebody else's. Mm. And I was like, ah. Mm. So I was like, that's a level that I didn't realize before, is to actually connect with people that I'm dating in the poly space and actually see, let them know I am a married woman. I have a primary partner. I could probably see you once or twice a week. Maybe when he's out of town flying for more, right? But that is a real, and he's always going to come first. And are you okay with that? And I will say, I would not have gotten to the place that I am now without my incredible polysex therapist. Having a trained professional supporting us has been the most transformational thing ever. What's come out of that is this really healthy pause. I started the pause before we did couples therapy. I just intuitively knew I was seeing things around me that were not aligning with me. I had my own experiences of being like, okay, it's time to attract people that are more in alignment with my situation. Maybe dating people who aren't polyamorous, who have never dated a married woman before, isn't the right move. Because I realized that if I have sex with you and I already like you, chances are I'm going to fall in love with you. So I wish I knew that. I could have
prevented that's good to know.
That level of heartbreak.
Lesson learned.
And I think reevaluating is so powerful because we get to reset the foundation. And we get to reset the foundation to then build toward what we want. And what I could feel is, and there were times where I was in love with this other person and I felt like I was distracted from my marriage in a sense. And that person ended things with me. So I didn't go down that journey, but I did get to see other things around me of people leaving their partners for other partners. And yeah. That rocked my boat a little bit. So I feel like I've seen so much over the last 7 years of being in this lifestyle that I was like, you know what would be really great is to reevaluate right now. And so this sacred pause. And I guess if you're in this situation where you're just in it, you could take the poly lens off of it, but like you just feel in any area of life, maybe it's your job. Maybe I have a friend right now who's, I just feel like I need to take a mental health leave and talk. I'm like, go talk to HR. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Like seriously. But like to recognize when we need to just pause something. And when we pause, there's no definitiveness to that, right? There's no pressure that this is permanent, right? And so we can just relax into that. We can surrender and be like, oh, it's okay to pause, to reflect, another R word. To reevaluate, to realign.
Something you're saying, I want to read this. So I feel like there's a through line in both your and my shares, Madison. And it's something that if you don't follow the holistic psychologist, you should. I'm going to read you guys something. And this, I saw this post and it gave me.
I love the holistic psychologist.
She was just on Scott Barry Kaufman's show. That's the person I was like, we need to have her on our show. It would be a dream guest. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're listening by any chance, we love you. So I saw this post and I feel like there's a big through line for all three of us right now. And it's normalizing the cocoon state. Okay. And yeah. So where you don't see much of friends, where you recover from the overstimulation of life. And she says, here's why. Human beings have natural seasons of life. At times we want to be more extroverted and connected to community. And at times we're called inwards to spend time alone and reconnect with ourselves. The cocoon state comes when we are searching for more, when we don't want small talk, when we feel the pull of the body to rest, and it's a sacred experience. Because it's not normalized, family and friends can take our cocoon state personally. They can view it as rejection or self-isolation, and the cocoon stage isn't isolation. It's our solitude. In solitude, we heal our body, expand our mind, and we have space to grieve, process, and reflect on our life. We have been conditioned to keep going, to keep pushing and grinding in the constant stream of distraction. Allowing ourselves to go into a cocoon stage is an act of radical self-love. So reject the idea that you always need to be connected to everyone or that relationships require your physical presence 24/7. In healthy relationship, periods of space are respected and understood. Giving someone the space to heal, grieve, and grow is a love language. After the cocoon stage, we return as a better version of ourselves. We're more patient, self-aware, and more present in all of our relationships. And I fully realized I was in a cocoon stage after this news. And it was interesting because Ryan picked up some work. So he was working night shifts. So I was, and he worked through the weekend. So I had this last weekend, I was alone all weekend. And I had a party to go to Friday, a party to go to Saturday, and like an event Sunday. And I am one of those people who would have, even though I'm a coach who coaches people to say no to things, I was one of those people that didn't want to disappoint. And I would show up, or I would show up at least to be supportive. I said no to every fucking thing. And I stayed home and I went to the park and I sat on a blanket and I read a book and I was on the verge of burnout. And because I took that weekend, I feel like a different human being. So if you're feeling like you can't get out of bed, you could also be in a stage of burnout. Pleasure resilience. This is like a real example of when we talk about being responsible for your pleasure, saying no to things. You have to fill your own cup first. And Ryan being away, it was the first time I had truly been alone, I think, in years. And it was amazing.
No, that's so true. And we just need to reset another R word. And I think inside of having resilience, having stamina, if you think about a marathon runner, they have so much stamina for the duration of that journey, that run. And Like, how do they maintain that kind of stamina, right? There's like training to get to that place. But then when they're in that mode, they can go and they can feel, they know how to resource themselves along the way. They know when they need to take breaks. They're deeply connected to their body that way. And then they can complete this marathon. And I think that when we think about desires, we should think of them as a marathon, not necessarily as a sprint. Right? And I think with my big polyamorous identity, I was on a sprint towards fulfilling these desires. And in that was overlooking where the foundation was needing to be reinforced. And the what was rocky about the foundation was I was manifesting situationships that weren't really in alignment. And I was manifesting a heartbreak or manifesting jealousy. These unaligned situations. And when we are, if you're in a situation where you're manifesting a lot of lack of alignment, whether it's in people or circumstances or like you're having car trouble all the time, what I looked at was where was I coming from inside of those desires? What was fueling me to sprint versus pace myself? And what it was, I recognized that my way of self-validating was through sex and love. And I was like, oh, not that it's bad. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a spectrum of that, including we have done a love addiction and sex addiction episode. I wasn't in that side of the spectrum. But if there's a spectrum of self-validation around sex and love, I could feel that I was falling in that spectrum. And I got, especially for who I am in the world, that lacked integrity.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And so that then allowed me to take this sacred pause. And it's interesting. It's like an energetic cocoon because I remember this one lover of mine didn't – I never communicated. I was on a pause with him, but like we would randomly go on dates. He reached out to reconnect. And I was like – I was so straight. And I think the old me would have just been like, oh, I can't get together. I would have just blown him off. But instead I took the time to say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm feeling really sensitive right now to male friends of mine from the past that I have had also romantic relations with reaching out to me to spark some sort of romance with me again. And I just want to let you know because that's because I'm in a poly pause. And so if you're reaching out to me because there's a little part of you that hopes to reignite some flame we used to have, then I'd rather we don't.
So
I know. That's called a value-based boundary.
That's what I turn on right now. That's on. Making no sexy.
Yeah, if you can't.
I feel so complete. Like, I just, that's it. Just
so good. Yeah.
Unapologetic, though.
But and not really, like, cool. Yes. Yeah, just.
And not good or bad.
Boundary.
Just honest, authentic, and clear.
And inside of this, what we are doing in the pause, like what my partner and I are doing is because I really just wanted us to reignite our romance together. I was having all these incredible relationships, but then I was like, fuck, I'm sometimes having better sex over here and I want to bring that back home. And I was feeling that kind of gap, right? Mm-hmm. And the ego is funny. It like wants to compare and it's not about comparison. If you're poly, you know that. The comparison game is just a dangerous road. So we are really working on polarity, which is inside of, we've been talking about a lot of R words, but for just to throw in a P word, pleasure resilience, polarity. And we're going to do an episode on polarity this season.
Yeah.
I sent you both that podcast episode the other day. I'm like, listen to this with your partners. But what my husband and I have been working on is creating the polarity. So just at nuts and bolts, what I've learned about polarity is that you're either in resonance or you're in polarity. So it's basically masculine and feminine energy. We all have masculine and feminine energy in all of us. And in a relationship to create that, like that connection, we have to be in polarity. But here's the thing. So they don't use masculine and feminine because of the dogma, because no woman wants to be told she's not being feminine enough and no man wants to be told they're not being masculine enough. So they talk about it as alpha and omega. And they say you're in polarity if you're in alpha and omega, but you're in resonance if you're both
another
in alpha.
R word.
And you're in resonance. And you're also in resonance if you're in omega. So more often or not, we're actually in resonance with our partner and we actually have to actively create the polarity. So this great example they gave is she works, she's a boss babe. She's alpha. She works from home a lot. And sometimes she'll just be in her go zone. And her husband will say, this is one example of how they will actively generate and create polarity in the day to day, which I think is part of pleasure resilience and keeping the romance alive in our relationships. He'll be like, he'll see her working super focused. And instead of distract her, or instead of avoid her, he'll say, ooh, get over here. And just for a second, and she knows she gets to go back to her computer, but she gets up and she goes over to him. And then he grabs her face, kisses her, and says, Now get back to work.
Ryan?
I don't think I would like that, yeah. But that worked for Lindsay.
I would like that. I no, that
just,
would
just
work.
Kidding.
I would not like that.
But the point
is coming up here.
Oh,
oh my God, I'm living for this.
That's amazing. Come grab my face.
No, it's not grab. No, he says, so come over here, kisses her, and then says, now go back to work. He didn't grab
yes.
her, I don't and think, the, right?
This, no, yeah, okay. No. But the point of this is, like, inside of pleasure resilience, if we look at the polarity conversation of, like, how to keep the spark alive yeah. in our relationship, especially if you're in a long-term relationship. And I think this is going to be something we talk about in this season. But this concept of polarity, mm-hmm. it's recognizing that what state is my partner in? And then how can I match that, right? Or be the opposite of that. So when she comes home from work, because she does go to an office sometimes, when she comes home, she's fueled with her alpha, right? She was just making a difference for people. She was just producing. And she comes home. The last thing she needs is to be shamed for being in her alpha, right? And so what her partner will do is be the omega. It's what they said is what it's when it comes to polarity is it's recognizing where your partner is and seeing if you can do the work
interesting.
To be their opposite. And when we do, that person then melts away and they'll sink. She says she melts into her omega once her alpha is celebrated and acknowledged. Thank you for all that work you did today. Then the alpha can relax and become the omega, which she really wants to. So we actually need to acknowledge that energy instead of shame.
We're all
that
a
energy.
Combination of both.
Love that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Of course. All right. There you go, pleasure seekers. More to come. This is going to be a through line.
So I think we've introduced a lot of concepts that we're excited to dive into season 6. We've talked about embracing pleasure and the path of resilience, unapologetic living, intimacy as a source of strength and connection, and really like reviving our dreams, pursuing our passion with purpose, and doing it all with a through line of pleasure and orgasms along the way for everyone. Or not, if you know what I mean? Exactly. Or not if you're in a cocoon state. You were going to say something, Madison?
I was, yes. Oh. And then I had to cough, so I muted myself and unmuted. The world of being a podcaster. For your pleasure, listening pleasure, I don't want to be coughing in your ear, Clitorati. I would love to leave it on the note of dreams. And there's a dream that we are all three after individually, collectively. And our relationship to our dreams is a big theme we're going to be talking about. And some days you might be in that, some weeks you might be in that cocoon state. And how can we still be fulfilling our dreams? Even maybe just accepting where we're at is a way of allowing us to pursue it. And letting go of that expectation that we always, every single day, have to be pursuing our dreams. There's a time to be in pursuit and then a time to sit back. And I personally want to just share that our dream as an organization is to have as many of you dedicated pleasure seekers join our pleasure positive, sex positive community of badasses.
Straight up badasses.
And make a difference for a million people. I give them access to a million people to have this pleasure positive life.
I love it. Amazing.
If you're inspired by that, go ahead and feel free to email us the word desire and we will send you some information about how to support you. So go ahead and email us at pleasurepositiveliving@gmail.com. Or if you prefer Instagram, it's Pleasure Positive Living on the gram. And DM us the word desire. We'll be happy to support you.
And to celebrate season 6, we are offering, if you're interested, to really explore a conversation with us, a free sexual satisfaction call. Pleasure resilience call, if you will. So let us know if you're interested in that and we can connect and see if it's a right fit for everybody. Katie, is there anything else you'd like to add? You've been studiously listening to us.
I have.
All right, perfect.
No,
all right. So we are excited to be launching season 6. And if there's anything you want us to cover, we're still going to be bringing sexperts in. We love your feedback. This is your show. Send us an email. Send us a DM if there's anybody you'd like for us to have on the show, if there's anything you'd like us to talk about. Another thing that we're going to be doing in season 6 is giving away some free coaching. If there's something that you'd like some coaching on, send us an email, send us a DM, and we will give you some coaching on air, obviously anonymously if you'd like, or if you want to come on the show and get live coaching, we could do that too. We're open to all of that. We're really stepping into ourselves and the next ethos, which is really spreading everything we've learned as pleasure coaches with as many people as we can. So if you'd like some coaching, if there's something you have a question about, if there's something you'd like some help with inside of community, reach out to us because we got you. This is all about pleasure resilience, and we want all of our listeners to have pleasure resilience, and we really mean that. So reach out to us. We read everybody's emails. We will get back to you. So if you're, oh no, do it. Send us a message, okay?
No, we literally read every single email, like every
multiple times a day. We have people
that help us.
Yes, we do. We do. So if you send us a message, we will read it, and we would love to connect with you. This is your show. You let us know what you want season 6 to look like, and we're going to do our best to deliver the most jam-packed pleasure resilience season you've ever heard.
Lindsay, I just got one question. Do we dance out now? Do we have a theme song? Do we end our show with our theme song too?
I'm not prepared for that.
Song, but we could do that next time. Okay, all right. And with that, Clitorati, we're going to see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao.